Praise the Lord. You know, when we declare His word, it sets the atmosphere. It sets the atmosphere in the house. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Lord, we thank You that when we dwell in Your place, the secret place, when we abide under Your shadow, God, that You are our refuge, You are our fortress, and You are our God in whom we will trust. It's good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to Your name, to declare Your loving kindness in the morning and Your faithfulness every night. On an instrument of 10 strings, on the flute, on the harp, with harmonious sound, for You, Lord, have made me glad. Your work, through Your work, I will triumph in the work of Your hands. In the work of Your hands, Lord. Oh, Lord, how great are Your works. His works are great. His works are beyond us, beyond our understanding, beyond our imagination. His works are great, and thankful are we for Your works, God. We thank You, Lord, for the work that You're going to do here today in this place. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your word that will speak truth and righteousness into our hearts and our minds today. So, God, we just thank You and praise You. And we declare Your word and Your truth and Your righteousness over this house today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So be it. You know, that's what amen means. So be it. So be it. And we declare His word today. 1 Peter chapter 3. Last week we talked a little bit about suffering for right and wrong. And in chapter 3, he says, but if you sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Can you give a reason for your hope? Think about that. Can you give a reason for your hope? If you can't give a reason for the hope that you have, maybe you don't have Jesus. Maybe you just have religion. Consider that. I'm not condemning anyone. I'm saying consider that. If you can't give a reason for your hope, maybe you don't have hope. Maybe you don't have Jesus. Maybe you just have religion. You haven't set God apart in your heart. So the other question is, do you have hope this morning? Do you have hope? And if you do have hope, you need to ask the Lord and the Holy Spirit to give you the words and the revelation of why you have hope. Why you have that hope, so that when you're asked, you can give a clear, definitive, faith-filled reason for your hope. Reason for your hope. So in verse 18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom He also went and preached to the spirits in prison. Jesus died once. You see, we talked about suffering last week. We're going to talk about Jesus' suffering a little bit today. But the word suffering, when we think of the word suffering, I think automatically in our humanness, we think of pain. We think of pain and agony and that kind of thing. But that's not the context of suffering. When we're talking about suffering, Christ's suffering, his suffering was a sacrifice. That's why he was called the sacrificial lamb. Yes, he did suffer. He suffered more than we'll ever be able to even experience or understand. But his suffering was a sacrifice. And so he sacrificed once for what? For sins. For our sins. He was just. He was pure. He was spotless. He was the just. And he suffered for the unjust. That's us, who were not spotless. In fact, who were dirty, who were uncleansed. And so he died. He sacrificed one sacrifice, himself, for our sins. The just, Jesus, for the unjust, us. Why? That he might bring us to God. And when you look at the context of the word us in that scripture, it means you. So make it personal. He died so that to bring you to God. He died to bring me to God. Have you come there? Have you come to God? He died. That's why he died, to bring you to God. To bring you to God, to die for our sins so that we could come to God, because we had nothing to come to him with. And so he died so that through his death and his resurrection, we could come to God. He died to bring us to God. To bring us to God. Have you come to God? Have you truly come to God in your life today as you sit here? He was just and we were unjust. So that through his resurrection, we can have a relationship with him. Not just know about Jesus. Not just believe that Jesus died for my sins, and historically and scientifically that's true and proven, it's a fact, but no, he died so that we could have a real relationship with him, a personal relationship with him, more personal than you have with people, more personal, just as personal, more so than you have with others, a relationship with him. And a relationship is something that is continuing. That's why it's called relation. Relation. It's relational. It continues. And our relationship with him is ongoing, continuing, daily, every day. He was physically killed, but he was resurrected back to life by the Holy Spirit. He suffered once, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. His body was crucified, dead, but he was made alive by the Spirit. Made alive by the Spirit. And just as he was made alive by the Spirit, we too are made alive by the Spirit, by his Spirit. And you see, that's what a relationship with Jesus is about. Until we have a true relationship with Jesus Christ, we're not alive. Spiritually, we're not alive. And see, just as he was made alive by the Spirit, when you receive Christ as your Savior and you put your faith in him as your Savior, then you are made alive and I'm made alive through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. By that same Spirit. You know, people sometimes will see how I'm trying to word this. Sometimes on the back of the connection points, someone will check salvation. I received Christ as Savior. And sometimes I'll see that, over time I've seen that where the same person will check it several times. You see, Can we put that scripture back up, Aaron? Christ suffered once for your sins. You get saved once. When you truly, truly repent and put your faith in Him as your Savior, and you receive His forgiveness by faith in the Spirit, that's it. You don't have to do it again. And I think sometimes we get caught up in the fact that we mess up or we screw up or we sin or we slip up and we think, I got to get saved again. No, you don't. Listen, when you get saved, your spirit gets transformed. Your spirit gets saved, but your soul and your body has to be transformed. That follows, and that doesn't come. Instantly, your spirit is transformed when you receive Christ as your Savior. But the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions, and the physical, the body, the flesh, they have to be transformed, and that takes time to be transformed. And sometimes we slip up. Sometimes, every day. Sometimes during the day. But here's what I want you to see. You get saved once. And when you're saved, it's one and done. You're saved. But that's just the beginning. What happens then, when he talks about sanctifying your life, then the process of sanctifying takes place, which is means set apart. That's where, after you're saved, your spirit is transformed. But now the process that has to continue is the transformation of your soul and your body. The soul and the flesh. Your mind, your will, and your emotions have to be transformed, reprogrammed, retrained, regenerated, just as your spirit was regenerated instantly. Now, over time, your mind, your will, and your emotions, your physical being has to be regenerated. So I want to make that clear. When you truly receive Christ, it's done. You know, I had a couple weeks ago, I donated blood. And the young lady that was there, she had her tags on, her names of them, and she had a little tag hanging that said, I'm a child of God. And I looked at it and I said, is that true? And she said, what? I said, your tag. And she said, well, I'm getting there. And I said, what do you mean you're getting there? She said, well, I love Jesus, I know Jesus, but I'm struggling with sin. Actually, she said lust. And I said, well, you are a child of God. If you're a child of God, you are there. But you're going to struggle. That's a battle. You're going to struggle. You're struggling with sin, but that doesn't mean you're not a child of God. Have you accepted Him, Jesus, as your Savior? Have you put your faith in Him? She said, oh, yeah. I said, well, then your tag is true. You are a child of God. But just because you're a child of God, you're not perfect. You're not perfected yet. You're being transformed. So don't let the enemy lie to you and think, well, I haven't gotten to Jesus yet. You're there. You're just got to be transformed. Your mind and your body's got to be transformed now. And it was like a light went on with her. And you know what? People sit in church every day with that same mentality. Well, I'm trying to get there, but I messed up over here, so I'm not quite there. It's just like getting saved. A lot of people don't want to come to Jesus until they get everything perfect in their life. And guess what? How's that working for you? You see, come as you are. Come as you are. Christ suffered once for the sins, for the unjust, for us. He was put to death in the flesh, but He was made alive in the Spirit, and that's what happens to us. When we come to Jesus, we're made alive in the Spirit. And it says, by to whom He went and preached to the spirits in prison. Now, there's several different theologies on this, where He went, who He preached to, things like that. It says, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine, that's God, long-suffering, patience, waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared in which a few, that is eight, souls were saved through water. Let's look at that scripture for a minute. You see, some people believe it's referring to those back in the Old Testament had died before Christ came and Jesus went to preach to them, or they were the disobedient that he wiped off the earth and he preached and proclaimed his resurrection and his glory to them before he ascended. Doesn't matter. We're not going to get hung up on that. Here's the thing. When once the divine God was patient, long-suffering in the days of Noah while the ark was being built, being prepared, in which a few, that is eight, his family, eight souls were saved through the water. Many people and some movements say, well, this, they use that scripture to say, well, you got to be baptized to be saved, to be completely saved. And that's not true. That the Bible doesn't contradict itself. And if you interpret that scripture that way, then there's many other scriptures that you're conflicting with. It doesn't conflict. The word doesn't conflict. It doesn't say they were saved by the water. It said they were saved through the water. Through the water. Not with or by the water. Now, verse 21, Peter tries to explain it. Verse 21, he says, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of filth from the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. An antitype. An antitype is something that's foreshadowed by a symbol previously, like as a symbol in the New Testament prefigured in the Old Testament. And this is what Peter's trying to say. He's making an analogy of the flood with baptism. The earth was immersed with water. Okay? It was immersed with water. He washed. Mankind was so corrupt and so disgusting to him, he said, I'm wiping them out. But Noah had faith. He had faith in his family. And so they were spared through the water, through the flood. See, all you have to do is put the word flood there and think of that. That's what happened. Through it, they were saved. Not by it. You know why he was saved? How Noah was saved? He was saved by his faith. He didn't get faith once he was in the ark and the earth flooded. He said, gosh, God really was serious. He did it. That really happened. I'm going to believe now because I'm in this boat and all I see is water. No, you see, he had faith because why? Yeah, how long did it take him to build the ark? He had faith enough to say, God said, build the ark because I'm fixing to flood this place and clean it. Well, he had faith then. He had faith to build that ark while people were laughing at him, calling him a fool, saying, it hasn't rained. What are you talking about? What's rain? You're crazy. And then when he starts putting all the animals in there, man, he's lost it. He's a lunatic. But then when the first drop came, and when the rain started, they're not knocking and clawing at the door. You see, Noah had faith before he saw the flood. And, you know, sometimes we get all weirded out when God tells us to do something a little that we think is wacky or out of line. What if he told you to build an ark today? Would you do it? You see, he says, go over there to that person in the grocery store there in line and get behind them, and as soon as it's running up, pay for their groceries. What? Or tell that person that's the cashier, ask them if they know me. Ask them if they know me. You see, we get a little weirded at that. And Noah, he said, build this ark that's bigger than this building because I'm going to flood the earth. And Noah hadn't seen rain forever. You see, Noah had faith before. He had the faith to build it. Then it came, and his faith was affirmed by God. Baptism is a symbol. Baptism doesn't save us. It's a symbol of what's already happened in us. We have faith before we get baptized. If you got baptized as a baby or as a kid, or even as a young person or an adult, but since that time you've truly come to know Jesus, then you really didn't get baptized. You just got wet. You see, baptism is a representation, that antitype that Peter's talking about. It's a representation. Just as the flood cleansed the earth of all the corrupt humanity, baptism is a symbol of what happens to us when we receive Christ and His cleansing blood. We're cleansed by the blood. It's like I said, not by the washing of water of the filth from the flesh, but He says, verse 21, there's also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. How do you have a good conscience toward God? Your spirit receives His spirit. Your faith is placed in Him. And then you have a good conscience toward God when your faith is put in Jesus Christ. Your conscience is then cleared with God. Having a good conscience with God, toward God, well, how? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was killed in the flesh, but He was raised by the Spirit to life. And the same thing happens to us when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Our spirit is raised to life, new life, new life. And we have a good conscience toward God then, because through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, through His blood, by His blood, with His blood, that's where our good conscience, that's where a good conscience toward God, you know what a one word for that is? Salvation. Salvation. And so that's where it comes. Baptism doesn't save you. I hear people say all the time, well, I got baptized as a child, so I'm good. Okay? How good are you? Compared to what? Compared to who? I'm good too, till I compare myself to Jesus. Then I'm not so good. You see, it's all about Him. There's an antitype which saves us, baptism, not the removal of filth in the flesh. It's a good conscience toward God through His resurrection, who has gone into heaven, verse 22, and is at the right hand of God. Angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to Him. In other words, angels, authorities, and powers are under Him. They're under Him. He is above all. He is over all. Verse 1 of chapter 4, therefore, Christ suffered. You see, let me back up a minute. That good conscience, let's go back to that verse 21. A good conscience toward God. We need to think about that for a minute. A good conscience toward God. Really, what does that mean? It means a right relationship with Him. And the only way to be in right relationship with God is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You see, Titus 3:5, I'm going to start in verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration, the renewal, the life, giving life to your spirit, that's regeneration. Saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The renewing of our spirit by the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Because when we're born dead spiritually. Our spirit has no relationship with Christ. It has no inclination to God. And that's why Jesus said, you must be born again spiritually. Your spirit needs to be regenerated, made again. When you regenerate something, you bring it to life. You do it again. You remake it. You bring it again. Bring it back to life. And that's what happens to our hearts and our spirit when He regenerates us. Renewing by the Holy Spirit. That's what being born again means. Noah's faith saved him, his faith in God. And for us, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is our salvation. So the parallel is clear there that Peter's trying to make. And Christ is above all and over all. So chapter 4, verse 1, therefore Christ suffered for us in the flesh. Since He suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. He who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Christ suffered in the flesh. He sacrificed His flesh, His body. Flesh, you know what flesh represents? It represents sin. And so when we're told He took all the world's sin on, He took it on. He took it on literally on His body. And that's when He was crucified in the flesh, sin was crucified as well. Sin was crucified in the fleshly body. The flesh represents sin. So when we suffer or sacrifice our flesh, you know what we have to do? We're dying to it. We're dying to it. And that's why we have to die to our flesh. Because flesh represents sin. And when we die to ourself or our flesh or our will, our soul, our mind, our will, and emotion, when we die to our flesh and our soul, then we're dying to sin. And He says sin no longer reigns. Sin ceased. You see, before Christ, we didn't even know what sin was. We don't even know what sin is. We just do what we want to do. But after Christ, when Christ comes in, then we understand, we know what sin is, and sin ceases. He who has ceased to live in the flesh has ceased from sin, is what Peter's saying. You want to live in the flesh? Go ahead. But when I'm in the flesh, I'm going to sin, and so will you. And that's why we have to die to self. We have to die to the flesh, because the flesh is sin. It represents sin. And our minds, our will, our mind or will or emotion has to be transformed so that it won't tell the body to sin or the body won't cause it to sin. And that's why He says, be transformed. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is His perfect will for you. And we renew our mind with the Word. We renew our mind with the Word. Christ suffered. He sacrificed His fleshy body to take on all our sins. And so we're asked to do the same. When He says, arm yourself with the same mind of Jesus. Jesus said His mind was set. He was going to be obedient to the Father, and He was going to take on this sin and conquer it and give victory to His people over it and give us life through His death and His resurrection. And so when He says, have that same mind, if He was willing to die for you, are you willing to die to just a few little things for Him? You see, the trade-off is enormous. He made the big sacrifice. He just asked us to make the small sacrifice, and that is to have His mind, to sacrifice our will for His will, so that sin no longer rules and reigns in our life and controls us. We don't have to live in bondage. We don't have to live in the bondage of anything that's not of Him because of His death and His resurrection. The Word says when when the Son sets you're free indeed. But you can't come and stand in the church and get set free. Oh, this is God's house. I'm going to stand here and He's going to set me free. No. He made a big sacrifice. He suffered for you. And you have to sacrifice something to be set free. I have to sacrifice my will for His will. Because as long as my will is in charge, I'm not free. I'm not free. I'm captive to myself. I'm captive to my own thoughts, my own insecurities, my own sin, my own tendencies. But you see, when He sets you free, when I'm willing to sacrifice my will for His will, God, I really want to do this, but I know that's not what You want. So I'm not going to do it. I'm going to accept Your will. I'm going to do Your will. You see, we got to do something. You can't just walk into church and say, I'm going to be set free. Now, he can do what He wants to do. He might zap you as soon as you walk through the door and set you free. But something will happen in you. You won't be the same person. You won't have the same mind. You'll have His mind. Gosh, this is good. He suffered in the flesh. He who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Meaning, I've sacrificed my flesh, so I've ceased from sin. I'll sacrifice the desires of the flesh so that I can cease from sin. That he no longer should live. And here's the thing. I mean, this is so descriptive. He who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Yes. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh. You know what Peter's saying? Stop living in the flesh for the rest of your life. Whatever life you have left, whatever time you have left, stop living in the flesh. Don't live the rest of your life in the flesh. You see, the Christian life is a battle. It's a battle between spirit and flesh. Between the world and Jesus. And you see, that battle's always going to be there as long as we have breath. But guess what we just sang? Victory. Holiness, victory, the word, and redemption is in Jesus. Victory is in Jesus. And so he said, he who ceases to live in the flesh, who suffered in the flesh, who sacrificed, ceased from sin, so that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. You see, we think of lust, the lust, and we just think of one thing. We think of sexual lust. But you know what? I'm beginning to believe that that's the minor lust of the flesh. There's so much other lust of the flesh. Greed, money, selfishness, self-sufficiency. You know, we lust in those things. Envy, strife. You see, all those things come from the flesh. And he says, if you'll sacrifice as he sacrificed and suffered in the flesh, if you'll sacrifice your flesh, then you'll no longer spend the rest of your time in the flesh for those lusts, the lust of the world, lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's right. All that is of the flesh. And Peter's saying, you don't have to live the rest of your life in the flesh. You see, when we live in the flesh, when we walk in the flesh to please the flesh, we get these little temporary feel-goods. And they last about that long, just a short time. And then we reap the consequences. We're miserable. We're depressed. We're unsettled. We're unsatisfied. We're not content. You see, all that comes from trying to satisfy the flesh. Peter's saying, don't spend the rest of your life satisfying the flesh. Jesus died for that. You don't have to. And he can give you victory over the flesh through the blood of Christ. Apply the blood of Christ. What do you mean, apply the blood of Christ? This represents him. He is the Word. Amen. Holiness has a name, and it's Jesus. Victory has a name, and it's Jesus. The Word has a name, and it's Jesus. Redemption has a name, and it's Jesus. We don't have to. We don't have to live that way any longer. We die to the flesh. When we die to the flesh, we stop. Listen. Worship team, would you come up? When we die to the flesh, here's what happens. We stop living for the flesh. You see, many people live for the flesh, and Christians, and they don't even realize it. Well, how so? Because they're always wanting something else. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough toys. I don't have enough possession. I don't look right. I don't feel right. I don't sound right. They're never content. He died and rose again so we could be content with him. With him. When you die to the flesh, you stop living for it and living for the lust of it. And only then can we live for and in God's will. Only then can we live in and for God's will. Let's pray. Arm yourselves also with the same mind, the mind of Christ. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so that you no longer should live the rest of your time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. What are you living for? What are you living for? Money, fame, fortune, possessions? Never going to be satisfied. Never going to be satisfied. Only Jesus can satisfy you. And his desire for us is holiness before God and with God. His desire is victory over sin and death, over lust and flesh. His desire is that the Word is planted in our hearts and our minds. Lord, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The word has a name, and it's Jesus. Redemption. His desire for us is redemption. To be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as you sit here today, if you've never repented of your sin and asked him to forgive you, what are you waiting for? You're thinking, I know what you're thinking. I thought it. Oh, I got to give up this and I got to give up that. And I don't. No, you don't have to give up anything. You only have to give up your will for his will. And you only have to put your faith in him as your Savior. Trust him as your Savior. Be redeemed through His blood and His love and receive that forgiveness by faith, and you're not going to miss anything. You're going to gain a lot. You're going to gain a lot. And anything that you give up, that you think you give up, He just washes it away. Those things that we lust after that are bright and beautiful and living color begin to fade, and the color goes away. And they don't seem as colorful. They don't seem as pleasing. As a matter of fact, they're not. So what are you waiting for? Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear His voice calling you to Him, don't harden your heart like they did in the wilderness and they perished. Today, don't harden your heart, but open it to Him and say, Lord, I give it to You. By faith, I trust You. By faith, I repent. By faith, I turn away from sin. By faith, I know You'll hold me and help me and save me. God, I pray that anyone here today, someone here today who didn't know You when they came in, that now they have put their faith in You as their Savior and their Lord. And I pray, God, if they prayed just to ask You to forgive them, to truly repent in their heart and say, I'm tired of this. I can't live like this anymore. I take You, Jesus. I receive You, Jesus. God, I pray that You fill them with Your Holy Spirit. Fill them with Your Holy Spirit. Strengthen them and encourage them in their spirit to walk by faith with You and to live by faith with You and to die every day to self. Not only for the new believer, but for every Christian here, to get up and die every day. Lord, help us when we get out of the bed and our feet hit the floor, let our hearts say, I'm dying to self and I'm living for You. Today, before I take my first step, I declare that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you made a decision for Christ today, would you please fill out one of those connection points and just note that on the back? Just want to pray with you and just send you an encouraging note and pray for you in the days ahead. And if you're watching by live stream, if you've accepted Christ today, go to our website, send us an email and let us know so we can encourage you. And find a church that will preach the word to you and get in it and stay in it.